According to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. He says the gospel was a secret. The gospel was a mystery, but is now made manifest. But even now, the gospel remains a mystery to the vast majority of men and women. The gospel is not something we figure out. It's not something that we can delve into and by intellectual acumen understand it. The gospel is something that has to be revealed. And I'll give you two reasons why this is true. You can look at these passages yourself later. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says the natural man does not have a spiritual receiver. That's what 1 Corinthians 2:14 says. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they must be spiritually discerned. That is, they must be, the gospel and the things of God must be understood spiritually, but the natural man is not a spiritual man, he is a natural man. And only God can make a natural man a spiritual man. So to understand spiritual things, one must be made a spiritual man. As I've so often said, you've got to have a spiritual receiver. If you don't have an AM receiver, you can't pick up an AM station. If you don't have an FM receiver, you can't pick up an FM station. If you don't have a Sirius receiver, you can't pick up Sirius radio. You have to have a receiver. And the natural man does not have a receiver. I hate to disagree with old Ray Stevens that said, turn your radio on, but the radio that the scripture sets forth, all the tubes are blown out, and the wire that plugs it in has been pulled out. You don't turn your radio on. Your radio doesn't turn itself on. You have to turn it on. Is that right? And for a natural man to be turned on to receive spiritual things, God has to turn him on. God has to turn him on. How, listen now, how God makes a natural man into a spiritual man is a great mystery. It's called being born again. We don't even understand our first birth. Even Nicodemus said to Jesus, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Being born again would be a greater miracle than being born the first time. Before Adam disobeyed the Lord, he was a spiritual man. But when he determined to do things his way, the Spirit of God came out of Adam and he became a natural man. Now Jesus came to restore us and to make spiritual men and women out of natural men and women. So the gospel will not be received and it will not be understood unless the Lord does something on the natural man. And until then, the gospel and the things of God remain a mystery to the natural man and the natural woman. Utter foolishness, something that he and she cannot know and is not interested in knowing. And here's the second reason that this gospel is still a mystery to many. And it's because the natural man's mind is blinded by Lucifer, and he doesn't even know he's blinded. So he's both blinded and deceived. It's what it says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. If our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of those which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The persons to whom the gospel is a mystery, from whom the gospel is hidden, those persons are lost. Lucifer is called the god of this world because, remember from our earlier studies, before the creation of man, the world was his domain. Now the battleground today is for the mind. Listen again. If our gospel is hid, it is hid to those who are lost and whom the god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. That's the battleground. In our universities and our schools today, there's no spiritual teaching. When some of us who are still alive today grew up, it was an everyday thing in the public schools to have Bible reading, to have chapel at least once a week in which a Bible lesson was given. But in today's schools, none of that is going on. In fact, they fought to keep the Bible out of school, saying that religion should not in any way be admitted into anything that is public. And that's why these young people's minds are blinded to the gospel. See, the gospel brings light. That is, the gospel brings understanding. And when light comes, the mystery of the great salvation of God in Jesus Christ begins to dissipate like the fog before the morning sun. This is why the great battle is for the mind of man. So, okay, here's what I've said. The existence of God is a secret. The person of God is a secret. The name of God is a secret. God himself is a secret, a mystery. And the gospel was a secret and yet remains a secret to the natural man. The question then is, how in the world can we know this God of mystery? This God that cannot be seen, this God that cannot be found out by searching. Well, look in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, if you have your Bibles now. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Now, beginning at verse 20, we see that Jesus is strongly rebuking and warning those who have refused him. He began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Thou, Capernaum, which art exalted into heaven, you shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. And here's what he says. Then he thanks the Father for hiding certain things from certain kinds of people and revealing certain things to certain kinds of people. Verse 25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and you have revealed them unto the babes. Now let me do a little interpretation for you. Those who refused to humble themselves unto the Lord Jesus Christ will remain in darkness and confusion. That's the wise and the prudent. The people who think they're smart. The smart alecks. The one that says, we don't need anybody telling us about God. And then those who come to him, those who submit themselves to him, those who bow and worship him, those are the babes. And they'll be taught the mysteries of God. And then he makes this amazing statement. Verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father but the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now the question that I put forth for you is, if all of this is secret about God, how in the world can we ever know Him? If His name is secret, if His existence is secret, if His person is secret, if He Himself is secret, even the gospel is a secret to those who have not been spiritually regenerated. How in the world can we know this God of mystery, this God who cannot be seen, this God who cannot be found out by searching? Well, I want you to notice, first of all, in verse 27, number one, all things have been delivered, that is, they have been given over to Jesus Christ to do with as He pleases. That means people, cultures, and nations. What that means is that Jesus is the Lord of all things. It means that not a worm can wiggle, not a hair can fall from a head, not a sparrow can go to the earth without His knowledge and express permission. All things, He says, all people, all nations, the destiny of people, all been turned over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Second thing I want you to notice from verse 27, it says, only the Father knows the Son exhaustively. Only the Father is thoroughly acquainted with the Son. Only the Father understands the mystery of the Son, that He is both God and man in one person. So much God as if He were not man, so much man as if He were not God. He ate, He slept, He wept, and yet He is the Ancient of Days who needs nothing. Here's the way Isaiah says it in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Notice he doesn't say the son was born. He said the son is given. He said there's a child born, but the Son is given. And the government of the universe, shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You know, Jesus once said to Philip, I'm going away. And Philip and the other disciples said, well, where are you going? And if we don't know where you're going, how can we follow you? Remember that? And Jesus said this to Philip. Philip, have you been such a long time with me and you have not known me? He that has seen me, they had said, show us the Father. He that has seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou unto me then, show us the Father? Only the Son, here's the third thing you notice here in verse 27. Only the Son knows the Father exhaustively. In the same way that the Father knows the Son, only the Son understands the mystery of God the Father. Only the Son can reveal the Father. This is the fourth point. Only the Son can reveal the Father. Look now. Nobody knows the Father but the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. Now, I don't want to get fancy with you, but that word reveal is a Greek term, apokalupto. And it means to pull the cover off of. It means to uncover. It means to disclose what was a secret. Only the Son can disclose the mysteries of God and His salvation. So how can I know God? According to this verse, I can't unless the Son reveals Him to me. Now listen carefully, because this is very important. This is very important. What do you think Jesus meant when He said things like, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life? What was He really saying? Let me tell you what He was saying. I am the way to God. I am the truth of God, and I am the life of God. He is the only way to God. He is the manifestation, the revelation of the truth of God. If you want to know the truth, you must hear Jesus Christ. If you want to know the truth about God, the truth about knowing God, the truth about pleasing God, you can only find it in Jesus Christ. There's only one being who has eternal life, and that is God, and He to whom Jesus Christ gives it. Is that not right? John chapter 17, remember this verse and memorize it. John chapter 17, verse 3. This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I know people talk about what is it going to be like in heaven. Well, I'll tell you what I think. I think when you get to heaven, you're going to see one person sitting on the throne of God. That's going to be the one we call Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one. Because all of the fullness of the Godhead is bodily in Him. And He's the one who reveals the Father. He's the one who reveals the Spirit. He's the one who reveals the secret and the mystery of salvation through the substitutionary death of Himself on the cross. Listen to this passage, 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. This is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. Now look again at Matthew 11. Notice now. He says, after he makes this great declaration in verse 27, everything's delivered unto me. Nobody knows the Son exhaustively and completely but the Father. Nobody knows the Father exhaustively and completely but the Son. Nobody can know the God of the Bible unless the Son reveals Him. Then he says this, come to me. You see that, verse 28? It says, come to me. You want to know God? You want to know salvation? You want to know something about this mystery? Come to me. Come to me. I'll give you rest. You're laboring, you're working. Quit working and quit worrying and come to me. Quit trying to figure it all out and come to me. Take my yoke upon you. And this King James Version here is a little deceptive. Take my yoke upon you, it says, and learn of me. Learn of me means I will be your teacher. Doesn't just mean you're learning about me. It includes that, but you learn from me. I will teach you. Come to me and learn of me. Come into my classroom. Come into my school. I'm the professor, and I'll teach you about this great salvation that is in the Lord God Almighty. That's the mystery of God and His salvation that can only be understood through faith in Jesus Christ. May the Lord add His blessings on His word. Let's stand together. What a God we have. A God unlike the gods of history, where men made them and they'd say, here's our God right here. We got Him right where we want Him. He can't do anything unless we tell Him He can do something. But our God, David said, is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Oh, I hope you get that message. Come to me. Come to Christ. If you come to Christ, He's the one who will teach you about this great salvation. Come to Him. Trust Him. Believe on Him. Follow Him. Bow to Him.